Can you hear me? Yes. Okay, great. Today is Mother's Day, a very special day for us to remember our mothers, whether they are our mothers that brought us into the world or whether we are a mother to our children. When I was looking for a good quote to remember our mothers, here's what I came with. It says, a mother's love is like a garden. Her children are the seeds, and they grow, and she tends to them, fulfilling all of their needs. Wherever there is beauty, a mother's love is there. So no matter where your mom is, whether your mom is near or far from you, or whether your mom is here on earth or in heaven, we just want to remember our mothers today. We want to remember the beauty of their love. We want to remember their sacrifices for us. And we want to remember all the wonderful things they did to provide for us and to care for us. So let's remember to thank our mothers wherever they are. Well, today I have a question for the moms. How many of you ever get frustrated with your child? Put your hand up. If you're a mom and you ever get frustrated with your child, they just get on your nerves somehow, and somehow you just want to get really angry at them. Okay. So if you're a mother, this is probably a normal occurrence, right? There are battles that you have to fight as a mom. There are times when you want them to do one thing, but they want to do something else. There are times when you want them to eat vegetables, and they choose that they only want to eat meat. There are many things that will frustrate a mom of the things that their child does. It seems sometimes like a tug of war. Sometimes it's like one side is winning, and sometimes it's your child. Your child is the one who seems to be winning, and the mom is the one that's losing. But moms, can you testify that even though you go through difficult battles with your children, it's still worth it? Sometimes you might think no, but the truth of the matter is I think God has made you a mom for a reason, because he believes that you can handle it, and you can fight the battles that you have with your children. Motherhood is one of the most noble and hardest tasks that a woman will ever experience. From the time that the baby is born, the mom begins to prepare herself to become a mom. Moms sacrifice a lot, emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially, for their child. And a mom's job is never done. Does anybody have a forgetful child who leaves their stuff everywhere? All right, whether you're a mom or dad, some of you can recognize that. I think I might have told you this before, since many of you know I've been here for a while, that I was one of those children who drove my mom nuts. I would forget everything, okay? And I still forget a lot of things, but I'm better. So I would forget my library books, I forget to return them, I forget my lunch, and my mom would always have to drive it to school. I forget my mitts, lose them all the time, all right? And so it must have driven my mom nuts. Because no matter how she tried to get me to remember, I would always forget. And so somehow she would always have to compensate for me because of my forgetfulness. Well, in my childhood, she taught me one thing continually. She said, pack your bag before you you get ready for bed. And then once your bag is packed, all you need to do is go to school the next morning. So try that and see if that works. There were days that I would listen to my mom, and I would say, yes, mom, I'll listen to you, I'll obey you, and I'll do it, okay? So I would pack my bag and put it there, and it would be ready to go the next morning. But there would be other days that I would forget, and there would be days that my mom would just want to pull her hair out because I would not be ready in the morning, or if I left for school, she would have to bring all the stuff for me because I would forget. For me as a child, forgetting was more natural than remembering, because remembering required me to organize myself. Remembering required me to plan ahead and not to forget. So it was not until I started to listen to my mom's strategy, I started to listen to what she wanted me to do, that I started to actually start remembering things, and I didn't get in trouble as much in school. Well, the Israelites are a lot like our children, the ones that are the forgetful ones. They kept forgetting God's blessings. They kept forgetting that God was gracious and merciful to them. And every time they would forget, they would sin against God. They would worship idols. They would rebel against him. They would not fulfill God's covenant. They were a very stubborn and stiff-necked people, very disobedient, because they knew what they had to do, but they chose not to do it. So no matter how God provided for them, they deliberately disobeyed God's commands. So Asaph, who is the writer of Psalm 78, the passage that Louisa read to us, is trying to review the history of the people, not just to help them remember the facts, but to teach them lessons from their ancestors of what not to do, so that they would not repeat history. So because I don't have that much time today to go through the whole psalm, you can read it on your own, perhaps at home, and you'll see that there's a pattern that goes on. God provides, God delivers, and then the people sin against him. And it's a constant pattern between God, the merciful Father, and the disobedient children, the nation of Israel. But Asaph feels that it's very important that there are many lessons that they can learn through the history of their people. Not only would they learn about their identity, but they would also learn about how to obey God and what God expects from them, and to develop a thankful heart. So this psalm also reminds us that it's important for us to pass down our faith to the next generation. Although this is a very long psalm, it helps us to remember God's purpose for mothers and fathers in the home. So today, let's go through some of this passage, and let's see what the psalmist is trying to tell us as parents. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter things of old, things heard and known that our ancestors have told us. When Asaph is talking about this, he's talking about the lessons from history, that sometimes when the spiritual lessons are clear, then they are clear to us. But when they are not, they are like hidden things. And he reminds them that it's not their responsibility to hide these things from their kids, in verse 4, but to tell them, to tell the next generation, the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. There were three things that they were to tell them. The opposite of hiding the truth from our children is to openly declare it and tell them openly about God's amazing mercy and God's grace. Faith was meant to be shared, and it was also part of their covenant relationship with God. They were told when they made the covenant with Moses these important commandments. It says here, these commandments that I give to you today are on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So this was meant to be a natural part of their daily life. It was meant to be a faith, was meant to be integrated into everything that they did. They're talking, they're walking, they're sleeping, before they're sleeping. It was to tie into all different areas. It was meant to be as natural as eating and sleeping. Rather than hiding the truth, Asaph wanted them to disclose it to the kids, to tell them all the amazing things that God had done for them throughout their history. And what were some of these things? Well, the parting of the Red Sea could have been one thing that they would tell their kids. How God led them through the 40 years in the desert, or how God allowed the water to sweep over the Egyptians when they were in trouble. And they felt like the Egyptians were going to kill them. They were to tell their kids these things. These are the amazing things God's done. These are the praiseworthy things that God has done. This is God's power that is happening through the plagues. This is how God showed his power to his people. And this is how he rescued you from Egypt. Remember. And also he wanted to remind them about the wonders that he had done. Look, people, these are the ways that I provided for you. I provided you food. I provided you water. I provided you birds from the sky. Can you not see that these are the things that I've provided for you? Do not forget. But of course, what did the Israelites decide to do? They kept forgetting. Although Asaph's intention in reminding them to pass it down from generation to generation was to help the next generations not to forget, the first generation, the ones that came out from Egypt through Joseph, those were the rebellious ones. So he wanted to teach them, don't be like them. Change your ways and be different. Take a different path than your ancestors took. And follow me. Obey my commandments. Put your hope and confidence in me. And then you will go the right path. So Asaph definitely had good intentions. And as a parent, we know sometimes it's difficult for you to teach your kids about spiritual things. And sometimes because of time and busyness, it can be very difficult for you to do. But if you look at it from another perspective, you can think about it like this. If we're not teaching our kids from God's word, then what else is going inside of them? Is the world's values going into them? Or other kind of values, or friends' values? Will those things go into them instead of God's truth? Parents, we need to be proactive in sharing God's truth with our children so that they would not be shaped by other values that are contrary to God's values for them. So ultimately, the main goal of sharing the praiseworthy deeds, the mighty works of God, and the wonders was a few things. One, so that they would know him. Many of you guys, how many of you guys are students here? Put your hand up if you're a student, whether in high school or in university. Okay, we have a lot of students. Okay, so if I ask you something, let me pick on Tracy. Tracy, what's the difference between knowing a lot of information and really knowing your information in vet school? If you really knew it, you would remember it. Okay? Who else could tell me something else? So what's the difference between knowing information and really knowing the information? Knowing a lot of information, but and really knowing your information. Ricky?
Just knowing means that you could like just talk about it from memory and decide it, but really knowing means you actually understand what you're talking about rather than just talking from memory.
Exactly. Okay. So when you really know something, it's integrated into your being, okay? All right? If you just know it up here, it'll quickly dissipate, right? As soon as the exam's over, it's gone, right? Can you guys attest to that? That usually you study, and then as soon as the exam's over, it's gone. Ask you in 6 months, you will forget it completely because it was all in here, and it didn't really go into your life, right? It didn't integrate into your life. But the values and the lessons that you integrate into your life are the things that will last and will become your values and your beliefs. Well, it's the same thing with what Asaph was trying to teach the people. He was trying to teach them, hey, you need to know God. Not know a lot about him. You need to know God personally. You need to know what he likes, what he dislikes. You need to know his word and why he would set these standards for you. These kind of things he wanted them to know. It was important for them to know God, not to know a lot about him. Second of all, he wanted them to trust and to have confidence in God. So let's say you have a best friend, all right? And how do you know that you really trust that person? Or why would you decide to trust that person? Because they are either dependable or reliable, or they keep their promises, or they've been loyal to you or faithful to you all these years, right? Or let's say you're in a relationship, right? How do you trust, would you trust and be confident in that person, you know, that you're married to? Well, not only, so David Tong might say, oh, because I'm stuck with her, okay? But the truth of the matter is that because you have placed a lot of confidence and trust and time into that relationship, right? So the same thing with God. He wanted us to not only know him, but to put our trust and confidence in God. And the third thing that he wanted us to do was to not forget the deeds that we talked about before and also his commandments. But mainly, this was the main reason why he wanted them to learn from history and not repeat history. One was so that they would not be like their ancestors and that they would not be a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts are not loyal to God and whose spirits are not faithful to him. Do some of us have a hard time really trusting God with things in our lives? Do we find it hard to obey God's commandments? That we know that at some point we made a decision to believe in him, yet we have a hard time trusting in him with things in our lives. I think that's the difference between a Christian who grows and a Christian who remains stagnant. A Christian who grows is one who will continually be transformed, not only by God's word, but also be willing to change and surrender more and more of their life to Jesus. Someone who is stagnant is someone who's made a decision to believe in Jesus and has accepted the gift of salvation, yet that's as far as they go. That's it. You know, they think, okay, I got my free pass to heaven, I'm done. I don't need to go any further. So we see that, as the song was saying, that seeing is not always believing, that we have to really have the eyes to see God's purposes for our life. That when we believe in God, Jesus, we want to truly see his purposes, but we also want to follow his path. There's so many different ways the Israelites were disobedient to God. You can take a look at some of these here up on the screen. So some of the common things that you see is that they were not faithful. You say that they continued to sin, that they put God to the test, and they were not loyal to him. So these things really cause God to be angry. It caused God to be frustrated because he wanted them to know him, yet the people kept on rebelling against him. But what did God do? Did God give up? God did not give up. And just as we talked about the frustration from the beginning, sometimes as a parent, when your kid gets you really angry and mad and frustrated, sometimes you feel like you want to give up. And I'm sure if it was God and he saw this, you know, he saw them blatantly continuing to disobey him, he probably would have given up on all of us, or a lot of us, because we continually, stubbornly choose our own way rather than choosing God's way. But God is a merciful God. He's a God who would not give up on his children. He's a God who wants to forgive you. He's a God who does not want to destroy his people if he can help it. He wants to be able to restrain his anger. He wants his children to come back to him. And it is a mercy that he showed to the Israelites that they did not deserve. But eventually, if you've read this psalm before, you know that God had to discipline the Israelites, who were the tribe of Ephraim. He had to do it by taking away their blessings. If you go to verse 47, you see that he had to reject the tents of Joseph, and he did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah instead. So even though we continually sin against him, we deliberately disobey him, God is still merciful. He still provides a restoration plan for us to return back to him. And that is through his son Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross for us, we no longer became his enemies, but we became his friends. In Romans 5:10, if we were God's enemies, we would be reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved from his life? Jesus provided the way for us to be restored back to him. even in our blatant disobedience, we can still return back to God, and we can have freedom, like we sang this morning. We can have freedom, and we can also become a child of God. We can choose not to be an enemy of him anymore, but to choose to be God's friend. So, brothers and sisters, I just wanted to ask you, where is your heart today in terms of your spiritual condition? Are you close to God, or are you very far away from him? Some people, they call it passive-aggressive, right? They can say one thing, and then it looks like they're on the right track towards God. You've been in church a long time, and you know what to say and do the right things, but yet in your heart, you're rebellious. You're disobedient. You choose not to follow God's ways. And this is still very similar to what was going on with the Israelites. Even though the Israelites were more obvious in their disobedience, passive-aggressive disobedience is still disobedience. We still need to come back to God, repent, and make things right. And through God's blood, Jesus' blood on the cross, we can be forgiven. So, parents, do any of you have children whose hearts are far away from him? We want to take some time to pray for you. And pray. We want to believe that there is hope for them, despite their lostness. That God still wants to find them, and God will not give up on them, but truly have mercy on them. And even though they may be taking their own path and not following in God's ways, we want to pray that one day they will return back to God's path and follow him again. God is a God of restoration, and he wants to bring the lost back to him. He wants to find them. So what are three lessons we can learn from this psalm? One, let's pass on our faith to them. We want to teach our children the truth. Let's not hide it from them, but tell them openly about God's amazing power and providence and provisions for us. If our child is rebelling against God, let's keep praying. Keep praying that they would return back to God. And that just like God did not give up on the Israelites, we also need to pray and pray that we will not give up on our children and God will not give up on them. And that God is in the restoration business. He wants to bring people's hearts who are far away from God back to him. And back into a right relationship with God. So let's pray together. Lord, we wanted to take this time to pray for the parents. We just pray that you would help them in their struggles of sharing and passing down their faith to their children. We pray that you would help them to see the urgency of this task. You will help them to see the importance of sharing their faith on a daily basis with them. And just sharing about the amazing things that God is doing in their everyday life, but also to remind them of God's faithfulness in the Bible. And Lord, we just want to pray for the moms and for the fathers who have children that are far away from you. I pray for you to especially anoint them, Lord, today. May they feel your presence, God. May they feel that you have not abandoned them or their family members. May you help them to continue to persevere in their prayers for their children so that they would draw back to you and that they would see their children returning back to God. And Lord, I thank you that you are God who is a restorer. And Lord, we know that even though we come to church every Sunday, we can be very far away from you. If we are far away from you, I pray that you would draw us back to you, that you would help us to make our relationship right with you again. Help us to confess our sins to you. Help us to repent of our wrongdoings. And help us to be willing to turn back to you and to obey you again, to follow your commands, and to be willing to know you and to trust in you in all areas of our life, so that our lives can be a testimony to others. So, Lord, thank you for hearing our prayers. and may the words from Asaph continue to dwell in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.